a theme song for us. Wow. Moving on big time here on the Eagles Inside Podcast. Chris McPherson, Bowl of Friend Duffy, and our special guest, linebacker, Casey Matthews. Casey, thanks for joining us here on the podcast. Congrats on the big win Sunday against St. Louis. And we were talking a little bit before the podcast. You agreed that it was your best game of the season?
You know, I thought I played pretty well. You know, obviously, you think a lot after games and certain plays you could, or even more plays that you can, you know, make. But you know, for the most part, played well and played consistent and had fun out there.
How was it like after D'Amico goes down and Michael Kendrick is already out that you and Emmanuel, and I know there's a lot of the dime package in there, have to rotate in there? How crazy is that through the course of the game when something like that happens on the fly?
Obviously, it's unfortunate. You know, you don't want to see guys go down. But, I mean, you got to be able to step up. You got to, you know, meetings, you really got to pay attention to the game plan and focus in on tendencies that the other teams have. But, you know, just being confident that, you know, whoever's in there, they'll be able to get the job done and get the guys lined up and where they need to be. And, you know, I thought I did a pretty good job of that this past Sunday.
We were talking about it before the game. You know, the first start of your career, that rookie season, was against the Rams. Did that occur to you? Did it occur to you how far you've come since then?
Not until after.
Whenever was
2-0 against the Rams, huh?
Yeah.
That's good. But, you know, it has been, it has been a roller coaster of a career. Obviously, you know, start off, you know, starting, and, you know, every guy who comes to the NFL wants that, or, you know, wants to come into that situation. But it was tough coming off the lockout and coming into a wide nine, which, you know, I don't wish on any linebacker. But,
just being safety, defensive back. I'm sure there's a number of positions you go down the line.
DNs love it, though.
Yeah.
Just being consistent each and every year, you know, and, you know, in practice, in the off season, you know, getting better, and, you know, coaches see it, you know, and that's why they have the confidence in me to go in there and, you know, fill in for these other guys.
Talk about the difference, and I think this gets lost with fans sometimes, the difference between the scheme from when you first got here and obviously transitioning to what you had with Juan and then later with Todd Bowles and now what you've got with Bill Davis. Just the huge difference from one to the other.
I think they're on the complete opposite sides of the spectrum. The wide nine, you know, how we taught it, you know, my first 2 years was pass, or for the D-line to pass rush first, play the run second, which, you know, that's tough on linebackers because they're just firing off the ball, getting up the field, and these linemen are coming clean on the linebackers, so you got to be able to get off the blocks. And then the scheme we're now to 3-4, you know, you really try to build your front, or I guess your three interior D linemen, and Benny Logan, you know, Cedric Thornton, and Fletch do a great job of keeping linemen off you. They're very big guys, and, you know, Coach Ask gets them right each and every day in practice. You know, they're on the sled. You know, I was in it last year with the outside backers hitting that sled every day, and, you know, it's the last thing you want to do. But you just know it's going to pay off in the games, and, you know, it has. And, you know, they do a good job keeping linemen off you and keeping the linebackers free to make plays.
I know you get the Chip at Oregon questions all the time, but how different is he now than he was when you guys were together at Oregon?
He's pretty similar for the most part. Obviously, you know, he's dealing with professional athletes and, you know, a lot of, you know, they're not just coming out of high school, you know, some of them teenagers, you know, but, you know, in the NFL, you got guys with families and you kind of have to talk to people different because there's, you know, so many different backgrounds where people come from, how they grew up. But, for the most part, I mean, he's Chip. He's been the same. He still has that mentality that, you know, he's confident, you know, his play calls and how he runs things and, you know, all the changes he brought here, you know. And there's a span last year, I think we lost 3 straight games, but he just, you know, he stayed with it and, you know, we ended up paddling back and winning, I think, 9 of our last 10. And, you know, it just shows, you know, what kind of coach Chip is and how, you know, he's going to stick to what he knows because he puts a lot of research into, you know, the stuff he does.
While we're talking about Oregon, you talked – obviously they had their bad loss last week. Things may have changed a little bit. Things changed a little bit in the locker room after that loss to Arizona.
Well, yeah, ever since my rookie year, everyone always takes shots at Oregon. That's just how it is. But, you know, especially losing to Arizona and Foles to school, you know, you see Nick walking around with a little, you know, his chest puffed out a little bit, rocking his Arizona gear. But, you know, they're a talented team. They've been in Oregon 2 years in a row, and, you know, they deserve that number 10 ranking. But, you know, need Oregon to get back on track. They still got a long season ahead, and hopefully they can move up into one of those four spots.
So what's it like when Nick Foles is talking smack to you about his team? Does he even talk smack? I mean, that's the one thing.
It's smack in, like, the nicest way possible. That's just Nick. You know, you can –
gee, you sure wish you would have won that game, huh?
Even I was like, congrats, man, the best team won. You know, you can't even talk to Nick. But that's just Nick. That's just his character. And, you know, it just shows to, you know, what type of person he is.
Are there any of the other guys in the locker room that are on the other end of the spectrum in terms of being pretty harsh trash talkers in the Pac-12?
Everyone in the SEC. You know, Fletcher Cox, obviously, you know, especially because his team's doing well for once.
No, especially right now, yeah.
You know, they moved up in the top 25 for the first time in their history. But, no.
Need more cowbell.
Yeah. No, yeah. They're playing well, and obviously, you know, they're in the top four spot. And, you know, he's talking a lot to me, a lot of junk. But, you know, you better hope his team doesn't lose. I'm going right back at him.
This is going to sound like a bad question, but, you know, there's all these Oregon guys here. When you think back to when you first met all these guys, like when they were freshmen in college or something like that, who are you most surprised is now an NFL player?
Most surprised?
It's a good question.
I don't, you know, with all the guys I play with at Oregon and meeting them, I mean, you're confident in all their abilities playing football, but I would got to say Jeff Mail, how small that guy was when he showed up in college. He was so skinny, and he was a basketball player.
Right.
He was very talented at basketball, but skinny, he can jump, and he started out at safety.
So how many more Matthews are coming down the pike? I know we got Jake as a rookie this year. Obviously,
Jake's
your brother
a rookie
in Green Bay.
Yeah, Clay. You know, my cousin's with Carolina. He's on IR. He hurt his shoulder. Kevin Matthews. And then we got a center at Texas A&M right now, a junior named Michael. We call him Mikey Matthews.
Fran's probably got the scouting report on him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got a nephew. My oldest brother's kid. You know, he's super young, but, you know, hopefully they can.
Yeah.
You know,
he's like 6'3", 200 pounds.
Yeah. He is big for his age. He's he's 3 years old, and he's in the top percentile for his height. And
he's already getting phone calls from Saban.
Yeah. you know, and I got a baby boy coming January 1st.
So. All right.
Yeah, nice. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So hopefully
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Hopefully he can follow down the family footsteps.
Of all the Matthewses, Is there a Matthew? Is there a Matthew Matthews?
There's my great-great, just my great-grandpa, you know, my dad's side was, obviously it's going to have to be my dad's side. His name was Howard Lynn Matthews, but they called him Matty Matthews. So that was the closest to a Matthew Matthews.
Okay. I'm always looking for double first name, last name guys. Yeah. So
Matthew Matthews.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You getting Casey could do it right now, or for
I know, yeah,
January
pressure's
1st,
on
you know?
January 1st.
Casey, what's it like being on this team that's 4-1 through the first five games of the season? Where a year ago, you guys didn't win your fourth game until after the midway point of the season. What's it like going to this big Sunday night game that the team is on the streak that it's on right now?
It's exciting to be a part of this team. Obviously, it's a great group of guys. You know, we haven't. We haven't won in conventional ways. You know, we've either been down every game or we've been up a lot and let them back in. But, you know, we're just looking for that one complete game, you know. But we are 4-1. You know, there's teams like the Redskins who've been close in almost every game except for the Giants game, you know, and they're 1-4. But, again, this league's all about winning, and we're 4-1. We could have been 3-2, but, you know, we're 4-1 looking to go to 5-1.
What's one thing you got to look out for from the Giants? I mean, a new offensive scheme, offensive line's been revamped. Eli's not throwing 27 interceptions like he did last season.
That's, I mean, we'll see about that.
Yes.
We got 12
if
games
you guys, you guys
season,
need to change 11. That, please. We need some Manning faces this Sunday. So.
Yeah. No, they're a talented team. Obviously, they had a rough start, but you know they've been clicking recently. You know, they've won I think all three games by double digits. They got some new weapons, and you know when you look at the scouting report and see their players, you can see a lot of new guys. You know, I think tight end's name Donnell. Mm-hmm. He's very talented, and he's scoring a lot of touchdowns for him. It looks like Eli's favorite target. You know, I think their running back got injured, but Williams, he does a great job stepping in there, and just try to shut him down. You know, one play at a time, and coming out with this victory going into the bye week.
Casey Matthews, excellent job. Thank you very much for joining us here.
Thanks for having me.
On Eagles Insider Podcast, and best of luck this Sunday night, and down the line with daddy duty, to say the very least. So.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to the Eagles Insider Podcast.
Both I'm already talking. I've already said Eagles Weekly. We don't have to do it again. Everybody knows the name of the show.
Welcome back. Special thanks to Casey Matthews for dropping on by. Now we're going to go into our feature, The Fails of the week, and Brian Thomas has selected, how many plays do we have here? Five plays?
We've got actually six. Fran added one more to it.
Did he?
So this is a Fran Duffy special.
When I heard that we were doing this play had to get in there.
He immediately emailed right away and wanted this play in here.
Okay, so.
So number six is LaMarcus Joyner.
So this is obviously at the point in the game where the Rams were just, they couldn't get anything right.
Hecker gets the punt off. One punt they actually gets off, all right.
And it was a great punt. And he gets it inside the five, and LaMarcus Joyner, for some reason, finds it necessary to toss. If he had tossed it back into the end zone, that would have been the tremendous come on man of the year.
What was he thinking?
He was trying to get it inside the 3-yard line.
What's great is that you can see his teammate push him afterwards on the sideline. You could see the teammate say, like, what are you doing right now?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
All right, number five.
I thought it was a really nice play.
So we have Katy Perry. She was down at the Ole Miss game.
She hugs Rebel the Bear.
Why is this a fail?
Do you think that's cool?
Yeah. I mean, it's great if you're Rebel the Bear.
Didn't she call the upset?
She called the upset. That's why she was so happy.
And she was partying in Oxford,
Miss
all night.
I don't see anything wrong with this.
No.
Fair enough. I thought it was a little
lucky for the mascot.
It's good for the mascot.
Number three. All right. Jacksonville. This is a pretty good one.
This is just a still frame.
Yeah,
here.
I saw this.
Yeah, I did
so
see this.
They do a slow zoom out from the pool.
This woman's wearing jeans.
There's a lady wearing jeans in the. Now here's the funny thing: that ticket is $300 per game. It's $12,500 for the entire season.
I mean,
so she paid a decent penny to put jeans.
My question is: do you think that she has her cell phone in her pocket?
Probably yes. What else would you have done with it?
What is it to someone? Okay, but why are you wearing jeans in a pool in Jacksonville?
It's pretty hot in Jacksonville. Maybe she wanted to cool off.
You also, the idea that there's like lots of STDs floating around in that pool, maybe she thought the jeans would be protection.
Maybe. I mean, you look at the terrible
maybe
towel.
Just stay out of the pool.
Yeah, like if you really don't want to go to the pool, just
that's fair.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Well, that's a good one. The fact that that's number three, there should be two good ones.
The main thing is you don't have the mascot. I thought you were going to have
the mascot. Yeah, the mascot would have been, but that's just egregious.
So this is just another picture.
Number two here is Browns fan with pretty sad names they put.
I cry at night.
Like how bad is that?
I saw there was actually an equally bad one where it was a whole row at the Browns game. Where it was just former Browns player, like quarterbacks, and it was the whole row was
that's
like
good.
Charlie Fry, Tim Couch, you know,
Spurgeon.
I don't know if Spurgeon Wynn was in there, but it was. I mean, it's great.
That's good.
I enjoy that. That's pretty good.
I don't think that that's a fail though.
It's
a fail for the Browns.
It's a fail for the guy who spent probably $70-$80
Why would you spend
it?
Money to put that in the back of your, you know, I cry at night.
I think it's funny. It's like the Factory of Sadness thing. It's good.
Yes. And then number one.
We know what this has
gotta
to be.
It's got to be. Is it D4?
It's got to be D4.
If D4 takes the cake, right?
Yes.
It's so good.
When I saw this, oh my gosh. I don't know what to say about this. I don't like. I looked at it, and I think I know what he's thinking.
Well,
but
what was he? Did he think Kaepernick had the ball?
That's the only thing I can think of is that he thinks it's a pass play, and he's trying to get back to his landmark and zone coverage. But it's just so funny to look at because he's just running the complete opposite direction of the play.
There was an honorable mention I didn't put in there, but there's a ball boy from Oregon who always has the. I don't know if you've ever seen. He has a bad fade. He put pink inside of his fade to try to play up for Breast Cancer Month, but I left that one out. But
well, why is that funny?
It's a fail.
Why does that fail?
Because his half his head is pink. Yeah, I guess it looks pretty bad.
No,
I'm okay with that.
It's bringing awareness.
C-Mac, you do that. You can go half your head pink, half.
I'm just saying he's raising awareness for breast cancer.
I know, but it's just the way he did it.
See, the fail that you missed was, I forget which college game it was, the tackle we didn't
have
the ball start, and he goes, timber!
Oh, that was so great. I forgot about that. That's so funny.
Nice job, Brian. Nice job putting that all together there. The fails of the week. I guess we'll take one quick glance. Sunday night, prime time. Eagles-Giants. I mean, the big story is obviously Eagles are 4-1, but fans don't seem satisfied with the way the Eagles have gotten to 4-1. And beginning of the season, I think if you polled fans and said, hey, you're 4-1 through the first five games, everyone would take it. You know, it means you had to win one of the games, most likely over the Colts or the Niners. You figure to take care of business at home. The Eagles have done just that, but now you have a red-hot Giants team coming to Lincoln Financial Field, winners of three straight. I guess what's the big key going to be for Sunday night?
I mean, as far as that is concerned, the big thing for me, and I've said it before, is that the month of September, the month of October, it's all about collecting wins so that when you get hot at the end of the year, you've got those in your back pocket. And now, you know, you're set yourself up to be in position to get one of those top seeds in the conference. So, you know, we've said it for years, is that the hottest team going into the playoffs are those teams that will go far and go to the Super Bowl. If you don't get those wins in the beginning of the year, you know, if you're hot, it doesn't mean anything at the end. We've seen a lot of teams get hot at the end of the year, and then they fall just short of making the playoffs. Arizona was one of those teams last year. If you don't start 4-1, it makes it harder to get in. So, obviously, it's not the greatest start. I think that on all three sides, there are all three phases. Well, special teams maybe
not
included.
I wouldn't include
special teams. There's anything special teams
can be doing. Offensively and defensively, yes. I'm sure there are things, obviously, that they're trying to clean up. But if you're going to go 4-1, you're going to take that start every time.
It's amazing the fact that the Eagles have struggled in some areas as much as they have and are still 4-1.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's quality that's good. It shows that you're a good team and you can win with adversity like that.
And all the injuries as well. You add that all into it. So, yeah, I mean, you take a step back, it's a good place to be, but there also is, you know, they can play a lot better.
Yes. Now the question is, will the Giants provide the test to push the Eagles? You would probably think that, look, NFC East, this is going to be a tough matchup no matter what. And the Giants played the Eagles pretty tough last season. So now you have the offensive line, which, you know, still trying to get themselves together. Lane Johnson made a difference in his first week back. But this is a Giants defensive line that seemed to have the offensive line's number last year regardless.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of the things that'll be really interesting to see is how this Giants defense plays the Eagles offense. Last year you mentioned they gave them some issues. Obviously, the first half of the first game was Michael Vick, and the second half of the second game was Matt Barkley. So, mm-hmm. with this game going to be with Foles under center the entire time, obviously the offensive line is starting to come together. This will be their second game in a row playing with the same unit, so that'll be a good thing. Hopefully, we can just keep the running game going, and obviously the defensive special teams can continue to play the way that they're playing. We'll see how it goes.
Is that your way of predicting?
There it is.
Is that your way of predicting that we'll see Mark Sanchez on Sunday night?
No, I think it'll be a good thing with Foles under center for the entire time. It'll be the first time we've seen that against the Giants in 2 years.
And then you look at the matchup with the Giants offense, Eli Manning all of a sudden not being the 27 interception
he's
guy.
He's due. I think he's due for at least four interceptions on Sunday night.
I mean, look, this offense is very much a quick and rhythm-based offense. They look to try and get the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible. It's a lot of short stuff, a lot of the quick game. And it's based, obviously, on the running game. They're a smash-mouth football team that likes all those inside runs. And whether it's Rashad Jennings or Andre Williams, they like to run it inside between the tackles. So I think that's what you're going to see with this team on the ground.
All right, Fran, in a few moments from now, you're actually going to be filming the Kelly Schrader segment. Nice to be filming after a win.
Excellent.
So what are the plays that you have lined up for this week with Ike?
We've got a couple of the defensive plays. We've got Sed Thornton's two big plays, obviously the fumble recovery for a touchdown and then the long fumble return, which has a lot of different facets to it. We've got the punt block, obviously, and then one of the touchdown passes. I won't give everything away, but one of the touchdown passes as well.
A little tease.
So, yeah, we filmed that in a little bit.
So I was just thinking of this idea for the bye week for you, since when you won't have game film to review on the Kelly Strader, what if you review, like, the food that Chip ate over the week, and it can be called the Belly Strader?
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. We can go with that. I'm trying to decide how we're going to attack that, how we're going to attack the bye week. I've got some ideas, so we'll see.
Or it could be like him making a sandwich, a PB&J, and called the Jelly Straighter.
How many more of these do you have?
I don't know. I got to think of them. How about if you bring a rapper in and everyone starts singing "Hot in Here"? It's the Nelly Straighter.
A little country grammar. They were playing that in the cafeteria today, actually.
Nice. Okay,
that's all right.
Or we could do. I got it now. Perfect. Let's get corporate sponsorship on the line. We'll do an Amoroso segment. No longer with Michael Kendricks. This time it'll be called the Deli Straighter.
There you go.
That's good.
Nicely done.
That's good.
I feel good about that one.
That's a good one. You could just keep exaggerating. You can just keep exaggerating about things, and we could just point a camera at you, and it could be the Embellistrator. No, not as strong. Crickets, there
goes. Not as good as the Amoroso's Deli Straighter.
No, the Deli Straighter is pretty good.
Okay, that's good. I'm going to take that upstairs.
It's going to make it happen. Eagle Eye Podcast. Who's your special guest?
Still deciding.
Okay. Yeah,
still figuring that out.
Gotcha. And then Wolfston we'll have later on in the week.
We will.
As always.
Wolfston's actually moving on up to TV now.
It is.
Yeah, he's in Inside.
Inside the Eagles
inside
debut.
The Eagles on ABC, 12:05 on Saturday mornings and 1:05 on Sunday mornings.
Yes, I'm still waiting for my increased paycheck for it, but we'll see.
You want your royalties from it.
Yeah.
So.
Keep waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think that's going to do it for this edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast.
It gets me every time. Yeah. I love that so much.